raised the issue. It was his mate. The guy who wasn't a Christian goes, mate, we've got to give something away. Come on, we've got to, like last time, that thing, whatever you did, it worked, so we've got to do it again. And the principle is sowing and reaping. And the proportion in which we sow is the proportion in which we reap. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about that. And so, if you're wondering about a framework for giving and a framework for your finance, where do you start? Where do you start when it comes to giving? Well, we believe that the Bible teaches us the principle of tithing. And that is that first 10% of whatever comes in. And yes, it is strongly mentioned throughout the Old Testament, pre-law, and then under the law, people brought the tenth, and then there was offerings over and above that. But we're talking about the tithe. But it's interesting that Jesus himself endorses tithing. And I just want to read out of Matthew 23, 23. This is Jesus speaking. What sorrow awaits you, you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. And so Jesus here is saying, yep, you know what, tithe, that's great, but there's actually more to it than that. That's just your starting point. And that's one of the things that Jesus introduced. Even when he was teaching on Old Testament law, he would say, yes, the law says this, but I say this also, or I add to it, which puts him in an incredible place of authority or heresy. And obviously the religious leaders of the day saw him as a heretic, not as the Son of God. And that's why they wanted to kill him, because he's actually adding to the law. So he's going, you know what? I don't want you just to give a tithe. I want you to actually think about social justice issues. I want you to think about, yeah, that tithe, bring that tithe, but it doesn't just stop there. There's certain things and mandates and responsibilities that as a community of followers of God that you have responsibility for. And so he's going, you know what? I'm not actually just after the 10%, Jesus said. I'm after everything. I'm after your whole life. And the beautiful risk-taking thing about this is, in our relationship with God, if we're willing to give everything to God, we lose nothing, but in fact gain so much more. And again, I could stand testimony. I could tell you story after story about how this works, but it is true that when we're willing to hand everything over to God, and not especially this area of finance, which is such a challenge and a sensitive area. But Jesus is taking things to a whole new level. He takes it a whole step further. And so Jesus is talking about here, reinforcing that and reminding us that tithing is good, but that is really just a starting point. And it's, Jesus, in reference to that whole area of giving everything over, the conversation that Jesus has with the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, he challenges this young guy who's incredibly wealthy and successful to say, just go away and give everything away. Give everything away that you've got to the poor, then come follow me. And this guy couldn't do it. And you know what staggers me? The guy walks away, but Jesus doesn't chase him. Man, the pastor in me is like, oh, hang on a sec, just wait. Just hang on, let's talk about this. But Jesus goes, it's a heart issue. If money's got a hold on his heart and his heart isn't after God, you cannot serve two masters. And so there's an incredible challenge that, yeah, God is after everything. So there's three things I'd love you to think about when it comes to. So our starting point is tithing. And our offerings over and above that 10% of all that comes in is, again, as 2 Corinthians 9 tells us, it's something that we should pray about and work out between us and God. It's a personal thing, as we encourage at Compass Church, that you would just take it in your own pace and just be something that is so personal between you and God, how you go about doing your offerings. But here might be three things that might help you. First thing that you should remember when it comes to giving is to be consistent. Have a listen to 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. And it says there, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. And so what Paul is saying here is on the first day of the week. So just proportionally, systematically, consistently do your giving. Because who knows that when you build up a little stockpile of money for a rainy day is going to come, and then suddenly it's like, oh, I've got to take some money out of that, but I'll put it back in there and then I'll give it to you in 2 months' time. And that kind of, it just never gets in there unless you're incredibly disciplined. 2% of Australians actually budget and stick to a budget. So, you know, like, you know, that's very, very rare that it can happen, and it's a massive discipline for people to follow through. But if we consistently and systematically give, it actually is just like, God, that's yours anyway. The second thing that we see in there is proportionally. And proportion there refers to that 10%, that 10% that comes in. And like, so that first 10% of whatever comes into our household, we just do the internet transfer thing, and other people in the life of this church do that, or on a Sunday we do the giving thing, and look, if you need the bank details, we can get you those, that's not a problem. But, you know, and we're looking at other ways to make it easier for giving, but it's just proportional to our income. And then the sacrificial part, which is number three, is the offerings over and above our tithes. So consistent, proportional, and sacrificial. And today we're going to refer to us as a church community doing something sacrificially. But we're talking about other opportunities that we have in church. We've got first fruits later in the year is our one-off bigger offering for the year. But we're looking at other missional opportunities. If you've got a heart or passion to give towards mission, overseas mission or mission within Australia, we want to actually provide opportunities for people to give over and above their tithes to those missional things. And so there's three things that might actually help you. So just before, and the reason why we want to go over the next bit, we'll refer to it later in our service, but I just want to show you some information about where we're at as a church. So if we can chuck up the next little graphy thing. Okay. I love pie charts. Who's a pie chart fan? Who likes bar graphs? You like bar graphs? Who really doesn't care? Okay, that's what I was told, that people aren't really going to care. And I was really shattered by that. But anyway, we, as you can see there, the blue section is our fixed expenses, those things that we've got to pay as a church every week, every month, annual insurances, fees, etc. And for those of you that care, and again, it might be 2% of the room, but when it comes to the wages, the advice that I'd been given was that we should try to stick to 25 to 30% of our turnover is to be spent on wages. Now, I know there's churches around, I heard some this week, that spend 50 to 60% of their income on wages. And I was just blown away. I don't think they have the same challenges with property as what we do, but they have their own property so they can maybe spend more on wages. But at the moment, we're currently running at about 25% as a church of our income is being spent on wages, which is, I'm very comfortable with that. And the other ones are the departure expenses. And we as a church, everything that comes in, there is a minimum of 10%, so a tithe of all the tithes goes towards missions. And so we've got some that is still within a bank account that we're looking to launch some initiatives this year within the Indigenous communities of Australia. Want to give towards that, and then launching our international mission arm of our global perspective stuff in the second half of the year. So that's our expenses. So try and burn that to the hard drive for a sec. And let's go to the next one. And what we have, wow, that's really hard to read. Okay. On the left is the dollar amounts, and on the bottom we just have from July to April this year, those months there, we have our monthly giving for 09 this financial year. So as you can see there, the goal is to every month be like September. No, the that big one there is actually June, July, August, September. And that's basically reflective of our first fruits month that we had. And, you know, again, God's just been so cool because we had a faith goal of $15,000. And in that month, first fruits month, we had $25,000 come in. So just a phenomenal, generous effort by you guys. So go you. But as you can see, you just get a bit of a picture of where we're at. And if we were to break it down more, go to the next one. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. All right. So as you can see here, this is our weekly giving for March and April. That spike there was just a special offering that was given to the church. Call it donation, offering, whatever you'd like. But just was a real blessing to the life of the church. So our average income weekly giving is just over $2,000. And, you know, that's great for a church our size. And I just pray today, what I've said about giving, just even having a clearing understanding of where we're at as a church, you know, if you are not currently a giver, I'm just going to say one thing on that. I just want to put out a 90-day challenge. Seasons last for 3 months. And I just want to throw out, we don't know who gives unless you put a description on your transfer, internet transfer. Otherwise, we have no idea who gives, and it's none of our business. It's a personal and it's a private decision. But if you're not a giver, all I encourage you to do is take on that 90-day challenge, that you would faithfully tithe and give for 90 days and then just wait and see what God does. Take it up with God. God says, prove me now in this whole area of finance, because it's such a big issue in our lives. And so I just throw that out to you. If you're not a giver, then just have a pray and think about it and see what you think. So if you've got any questions about any of the figures that you've said or any of the information that I've shared about this morning, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to make an appointment. We can catch up and chat, or you can email, whatever it might be. But yeah, we just really want to make sure that we have a clear understanding, I guess, of where we're coming from with the whole money thing, because it is such a sensitive issue. And so as far as our finances, our financial position as a church, as I said, we're in a strong financial position, and you're going to hear more about that as we wrap up this morning. But I've talked enough. You need to stand up and stretch your legs. But kids, it's time for you to go. If you're visiting with us this morning, we've got great kids ministry from walking through to preschool is our Comforts Grommets. If you go out to the door on your left, my right, there are rooms that you need to sign your child in and sign them out when you pick them up. And all primary school age kids go out to the door on the left, your right, and you're going to have a great morning. Otherwise, why don't you stand up, stretch your legs, say hello to someone you haven't seen yet this morning. See on your notes there, the definition for greed is an overwhelming desire to have more of something than is actually needed. And Mark 7:22, Romans 1:28, 1 Corinthians 6:10, Ephesians 5:3, just all make reference to this topic of greed. And as we've been saying about the seven deadly sins, these core sins, that they lead to other things and the flow-on effects of these things. And so as Hebrews 12 tells us, we want to identify those things that are weighing us down, those things that are slowing us down and ensnaring us, and we want to get rid of them out of our lives so we can run the race that God's for us freer, lighter, and finish strong. And so this morning, we want to try to identify and try to be honest with ourselves. Have I got an issue with greed? Is there an area of my life that this relates to me? So as you're sitting here this morning, I don't want you to be thinking, oh, gee, I hope they're listening. This is really good for them, okay? I don't want you thinking like that. It's like, no, how does this relate to me? A few people have said some stuff about greed. Mignon McLaughlin said, we are all born brave, trusting, and greedy, and most of us remain greedy. Neil Bortz, a guy kind of looking at it from slightly a different angle, says this, greed, a word commonly used by liberals, low achievers, anti-capitalists, and society's losers to denigrate, shame, and discredit those who have acquired superior job skills and decision-making capabilities and who, through the application of that job. Maybe there's a pride issue there. Unless you tend to agree with it, then get week one. The next one. Frederick Koenig said, we tend to forget that happiness doesn't come as a result of getting something we don't have, but rather of recognizing and appreciating what we do have. Mahatma Gandhi said, earth provides everything to satisfy every man's need, but not every man's greed. Hell has three gates, lust, anger, and greed. And we've actually looked at anger, and this morning we're looking at greed, and the last one in our series is that one of lust. And we've been in contact with the guys at Triple X Church in, of course, Las Vegas. And their whole church and ministry operates in reaching out to the porn industry. And they've had great success in showing the love of Jesus to directors, actors, producers, all people that have been involved. And the guy, the head of that particular church, actually is a great communicator, and what they've got is a pack that they can give, which is entitled Porn Sunday. So on June the 6th, we are having Porn Sunday. And we're trying to debate whether it's porn and pancakes or porn and pastries. We're not sure. And people are telling me that porn and pastries sounds better, so it might be pastries. But we're looking at the topic, and this guy, being a great communicator, he's got a message that we're going to show and just gives us some insights and some interviews into just people and why they got caught up and why they were living that particular lifestyle and the difference that Jesus Christ has made in their world since coming to know him as Lord and Saviour. So stay tuned for that one, and you know, certainly worth inviting some friends along too. Continuing on, a Serbian proverb says this: a greedy father has thieves for children. Have a listen to this one. Democritus, sounds like a Greek philosopher or something, says, it is greed to do all the talking, but not want to listen at all. Interesting. And I find that very challenging right now with me doing all the talking. I do want to listen, trust me. But today we want to have a look at this topic of greed. And I think we'd all agree that greed is not good, that we've seen the effects of greed on small scales within an individual's life and the path of destruction that that led to, and on a broader corporate scale or environmental scales where we see how greed has been such a detrimental thing. And yet this morning, it's not the greed that I want to focus on, but I believe that we're called as Christians to a higher level of living. I believe that we're called to a countercultural, a revolutionary way of living, and that is to live a lifestyle of generosity. And the Bible is filled with literally hundreds of verses that relate to this topic of generosity. And I love talking about generosity. It's something that I want to continue to work on in my life, to move further and further away from greed and to totally slipstream into a lifestyle of generosity. And so this morning, I want to try to literally take hundreds of verses and in the next couple of minutes specifically, take a verse which I believe summarizes and encapsulates what a lifestyle of generosity looks like. So in your notes, if you can have a look, it's our memory verse for next week. And it's Acts 20, verse 35. And we're all going to say this together because it's such a good verse to read together. Are we ready to go? On three. One, two, three. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Or depending on where you come from, blessed you, to give than to receive. And that kind of encapsulates a lifestyle of generosity. Thinking about that in every area of our life, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I want you to remember something this morning as you leave. I want you to think about that greed, living a life of greed is a closed fist kind of living. It's the kind of closed fist, it's like it's mine. It's like, you know, the little two-year-old that's got their toy and you know, you're sort of like another kid wants it and it's like, no, it's mine. It's mine, mine, mine. It's like, I want it more. I want, it's mine and you can't have it. It's almost like, you know, people sometimes don't grow out of that kind of mentality. It's just mine. And it's just like a really closed fist kind of living. But whereas a generous lifestyle is an open-handed kind of living. It's saying, you know what, God, everything I've got's yours. And it's just yours. It's yours. It's yours. You know what? I don't want more. I just want to give. Because the more in which I give, the more that it actually gets returned to me anyway. And it's that difference between a closed fist kind of living, which is kind of an anxious, angry way of living, to a freer, liberating kind of a lifestyle. And I was just thinking about the difference between greed and generosity. And here's some thoughts that I came up with. Greed is a win-lose equation. It's like, I win, you lose, and that's just the way it's going to be. Because I want, it's mine, I'm taking it, it's mine, I want it, I'm going to have it. Whereas generosity is a total win-win scenario. Greed is a basis for paranoia because, like, it's mine and I'm going to get more and I want it and I think Michael wants it and I'm not going to let him have it, even though he doesn't want it. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything really at all. And so it's just like, no. But I'm thinking Michael wants it, so it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And Michael, and I'm thinking that Michael wants to take it. And so kind of that basis for paranoia is there, whereas generosity is the key for true biblical prosperity. Greed is dehydrating and suffocating. Generosity is refreshing and a breath of fresh air. Greed robs you of life, and generosity is contagious. Greed is the easy option. Generosity is the courageous option. Generosity is the highest level of living that we can live at. And could you imagine that if all of us as a community, and that's idealistic thinking, I know. Imagine if all of us here at Compass Church decided to embrace a lifestyle of generosity. A lifestyle of just saying, God, it's yours. God, what do you want me to do with it? God, it's yours. Imagine what difference it would make within this community. Now, I'm stoked to be able to say, and in a good kind of sense, proud to say that we as a church are a generous church. The kind of giving that goes on beyond the figures that you saw, the level of giving and support that people do within life groups and within relationships and supporting one another that doesn't get reflected in our finances, and really who cares? It's about the advancement of the kingdom of God anyway. And the things that people do in the life of this church, the generosity just blows me away. And I think, wow, imagine if we could just continue to grow in that whole mindset of generous living, how cool that would be. I mean, we never know who's watching. And I think, you know, when we start to live a lifestyle of generosity, even in the smallest of things, it's amazing the ripple effect. And we won't know until eternity the real impact that those kind of things can actually make. And so this morning, I just want us to have a look at how do we live a lifestyle of generosity? What are some of the keys? Let's go through just a couple quickly. First one, by being generous with my time. Being generous with my time. Time is such an important thing. We all get the same amount. We all get 86,400 seconds a day. We get 1,440 minutes a day. We get 24 hours in a day. It's what we do with that time that counts. What we do with our time will determine the outcome of our life. And I don't know about you, but at the end of my life, I don't want to be labeled or titled or thought of, because when it comes to funerals and all those sort of things, people always just say nice stuff anyway. They're never going to go, well, yeah, Phil was just a greedy bloke and he was angry and he was proud. It's just like, they don't say that. They always say nice stuff, but I want them to be able to say stuff that is true about me. Love for people to be able to say, yeah, Phil's not a greedy person. He's a generous person. And he was generous in all different ways. And one of the ways that Phil was generous was with his time. And one of this prayer that I was challenged with, you might want to write it down. I'm not sure if it's on the notes actually, but the prayer goes something like this. God, what is the best use of my time right now? God, what is the best use of my time right now? And if I'm walking around the floor of the gym, or if I'm just sort of like hanging out at the cafe or meeting up and waiting, I actually pray that prayer. I say, God, what's the best use of my time right now? When I'm driving in the car and sort of like thinking about, God, what is the best use of my time right now? Obviously, concentrating on what I'm doing is a good thing. But what is the best use? What can I be thinking about? What's constructive for the kingdom of God? What's constructive for my family and for my life? What's a good use of my time right now? And whatever we do with our time reflects our priorities, because we make time for what's important. So if my health is important to me, I'm going to make time to stay healthy. If my spiritual life is important to me, I'm going to make time to develop my spiritual health. So I want you to think about your week just gone. What did you spend the most amount of time doing? And yet you might say, well, yeah, it's important that I'm healthy, or it's important that I grow in my relationship with Jesus and I learn more about his word, and it's important that I pray. But can I ask you, did you spend the standard Australian 19 to 22 hours in front of the TV, because you've got to just keep the stats up? Or did you actually spend time developing those things? Because when we reflect on what we've done with our time, it'll reflect where our priorities are and what is important to us. Challenging thought. Great, it's gone quiet again in here. I'm doing really well this morning. Good. Sorry? Three people here next week. Yep. You know what, when we first, like, Compass was like 6 months old, we were stoked when we got to like 45 people. Like in the room, and we're just like pumping the air, high fives all around Sunday afternoon. The next week, there's like 23 people in the room, and we're just like, yeah. And we're like, just wanted to put on the website, yeah, Melbourne's fastest declining church. Welcome. Come along, just be a part of that. That's great. But let's have a look at a biblical example of somebody who used their time wisely. In Luke 10, for time's sake, let's just recap the story. I'm sure you've all heard the story of the Good Samaritan. And we have this story of a guy going from Jericho to Jerusalem. He gets the snot beaten out of him, and he gets robbed, and he's left bleeding and in a bad, bad way. And first of all, we have a priest that comes by, and because of the laws in which they lived under, this guy couldn't touch somebody who was bloody like that, because otherwise he'd be deemed as unclean, so he just passed straight by. Then a Levite walked past, who's a higher level of religiosity. He looks, and he sort of like sees this guy and actually crosses to the other side of the road to get away from him, just like some of us do when we don't want to talk to someone, see somebody at the shopping centre that we don't want to talk to, and all of a sudden we turn into G.I. Jane or something and do commando rolls behind cars and everything because we just don't want to talk to them. But you would never do that, of course. And so this Levite did that. He took off to the other side of the road and he totally avoided. And the last guy that came along was a Samaritan. You've got to understand, the Samaritans and the Jews did not mix. They did not like each other. There was a genuine, deep-seated, deep-rooted hatred towards one another. They just did not mix. It was not done. But yet, who stopped? This guy, he's on his way. He stops, he bends down, he makes sure the guy's okay, puts him, chucks him into his car, onto his donkey, and decides to walk to an inn. He pays the money so this guy can get looked after and cared for, and then continues on his way. And Jesus asks the questions to his disciples, hey, who do you think we should be like? And they're going, is that a trick question, Jesus? And he goes, no, who should we be like? They go, well, the Samaritan. He goes, yeah, well, go and do likewise. We have here a reflection of somebody that shouldn't have done the right thing, but did anyway. He's probably on his way. Maybe he was busy. Maybe he had meetings. Maybe he had stuff that he had to do. Maybe he had to get to this or get to that, but yet he decided to stop. And even in Jesus' life, we see when Jesus is on his way to somewhere, because he's generous with his time, some of the greatest miracles that took place were interruptions. How often are we so focused on just getting the job done and the task done that maybe we're missing some of the divine opportunities that God's bringing our way? And yet if we have this perspective that we're generous with our time, we'll be more attuned to those opportunities when they arise. It's a good challenge for us. And so, like, I just love the story of the Good Samaritan, because most people, even if they haven't read the Bible, would know or would have heard the saying, Good Samaritan. So this guy's had an enduring impact on history. This story's had an enduring impact. And so there's a good reminder for us there about us being generous with our time. And so our life is made up of time. And our gift back to God is what we do with that time. And speaking of gifts, like, you know, even here in this church, I mean, I look around and sort of see, yeah, we enjoy good music, but these guys had to be at, you know, sort of 7:45 this morning to set up and practice, and they have a practice during the week and really appreciate their musical gifts and abilities and talents and the time that they put in, the host teams for setting up and for the food and for Sean and the other baristas with Rita and Kate that barista for us, you know, the generosity of their time in serving us in this way and people meeting us at the door and then the volunteers that happened during the week that actually helped to get notes printed up and typed and all that sort of stuff. And thank you for those people that have stepped up to volunteer for time over the last month to help out in the office with Joe. It's so appreciated. And then people that you will never even know about, like Rita, who spends hours just making sure that our finances and our books, Rita's an accountant, she just helps us with our books, and she's probably going to get really embarrassed. But is she in here this morning? Oh, she's at kids, so I can talk all about her. That's good. But she's just so generous with the time. It's not a hassle. It's not a chore. It's like volunteering that time of hers. It's just such a blessing to our church. And maybe if you're thinking about being involved in an area and being generous with your time in serving, encourage you to do that. Like, our kids' ministry needs help. And if you've got a heart for kids and want to learn, you don't have to be fully skilled and gifted. We can help you do that. You can be part of a great team. You can be generous with your time. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work." And then it says, "For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted." Nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted. Let me just make it clear. Like, when you volunteer to do something in the life of church, you're not clocking up brownie points with Pastor Phil. I appreciate it, and it needs to be done, and we will really appreciate you. But it's not about kind of like making Pastor Phil happy. It's like we do it as unto the Lord, because that's who we're serving and want to see glorified. You hearing me? Great. You're still awake. Second thing, Generous with your time, generous with your talents. Being generous with your talents. And I just referred to the opportunities that are available for some of those. And 1 Corinthians 12 and chapter 14 talk to us about our talents. And can I just say, as we're talking about that, please, please don't ever compare yourself to somebody else and the talents or gifts they've got. Don't be jealous. It's foolishness, the Bible tells us, to compare ourselves to somebody else. But you will be most satisfied and fulfilled when you are just yourself serving God and being comfortable in that. And if that means that you're called to be like, you know, an accountant, then just be the best accountant that you can be. If you're called to be a mechanic or a carpenter or a sparky, then just do the best that you can at it. And as you are yourself and you're doing what God wants you to do, that's when satisfaction and fulfillment comes in life. Does anyone agree? Great. Good. And so as with every aspect of our life, our time and our talents, it's being a wise steward with those things. It's going, God, you've given this to me. How can I give it back to you? How can I bring glory? It's yours. I just want to give it back to you. I just want to use it for your glory. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's got stuff prepared for you to do. So don't sit there and say, well, I've got nothing to offer. No, God's got stuff for you to do. And it may well be within the ministry of this church, but it may be outside of that, and that's fantastic. And that's why we love supporting ministries like OCF and Student Life at Monash Caulfield and doing our youth ministry together with St. Mary's Anglican Church down the road, Magnetic, that we do this together. Some stuff, yes, will happen within the four walls of this church, but that's just the start. There is a whole world out there that we're called to reach and serve. Cool. Well, and this morning, I just want to say that if you've got an interest in being involved in using your time and talents to serve, but you don't know where, just let us know. We'd love to help you fit in and find a round hole for a round peg, and that you can just fit in there and actually enjoy what you're doing at Compass Church. So whether you need to email or chat to us, who would have thought, or if you need to Facebook, then let's do that. We'll just find out some way. We'll just do it. But for all of us, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And another version actually says, they're being given for the benefit of the church. And so there, just encourage you. Those gifts and abilities that you have, encourage you to use them for God's glory. Now, I want to skip number 3. I'm going to go straight to number 4. And that is being generous with our testimony. Generous with our testimony. And that's talking about just the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life, just creating and taking every opportunity to tell others about the good things that Jesus has done in your life. Being generous with the grace that God has shown you, that you just go, hey, I just got to tell you about what God's done in my life. I'm not perfect, haven't got it all together, but hey, this is what God's done in my life. And one of the ultimate examples of that is the Apostle Paul and his life story. And as he's standing before one of the rulers of the day, King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26, these guys have actually, you know, they're trying to sentence Paul to death. And Paul is given the opportunity to talk. And he actually stands up and he doesn't defend himself. What does he do? He tells his life story. He tells his testimony. He goes, I'm not going to use this time to try and get out of being killed. I'm actually going to use this opportunity to tell people about the incredible things that Jesus Christ has done in my life. So the Apostle Paul shows us there in Acts 26, verse 16. It says there, I have appeared, and this is Jesus talking to Paul, I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. You are to tell the world about this experience. And I believe the same call goes out to each one of us here this morning, that we have that challenge and that call to be generous with our story, to tell the whole world about what Jesus Christ has done for us. So you've got some homework. Can you see on your page, you've actually got some homework. This is what you need to hand in next Sunday morning, and we will be marking the roll, and we will be marking your homework. I'm joking. Unless you want help with it. Seriously. As you can see there, it's just a simple exercise. If you're not sure how to share your story, some great, just three questions that you can spend time just writing down what life was like before Jesus, how you came to meet Jesus, and the difference that Jesus has made in your life since that time. And just spend some time. We've done this before in the life of the church in wrapping it up and should be able to do it in 2 minutes. And so if you're not sure how to do that, please just let us know. We'd love to do that with you. Your life group leader would love to go through that with you. If you've just got to write it down and you can show them and they can just help you, not obviously change the details of the story, but maybe just, you know, oh, suddenly, yep, you were a drug addict at 4 and you were a murderer at 7 and pimp at 9 and came to Jesus at 11, hallelujah. And it's like, you know, now a worldwide evangelist in a white suit, white shoes, and give the Lord a mighty hand in praise. I tell you what, the glory of God is all over the place. And we don't want to change the details of your story. We just want to help you get it so you've actually got something to say. So you've got some homework. And finally this morning, back to number 3, being generous with my treasures. Treasures. Do you notice they've all got to start with T? So that's why we said treasures. You know what's really cool? There's International Talk Like a Pirate Day. September the 19th, and it happens to be a Sunday this year. So we're just thinking about kind of how we can have International Talk Like a Pirate Day at Compass. You can all come dressed up. Oh, look out. Yeah. There's actually websites on how you can learn how to talk like a pirate, and they give you clues and hints, and some of them are not good, though. Treasures, me hearties. Ah. Yes. But being generous with our treasures, just referring to the principles of giving that we spoke about at the start of the service. And, you know, really just that whole stewardship issue. I want you to remember that generous living is open-handed living. In every area of our life, being generous with our time, generous with our talents, generous with our testimony, and just generous with our stuff, the stuff that we have. And at Compass, we believe that the starting point of that is the 10% of our income. If you need a starting point, that's our starting point, and the offerings over and above that. And one of the goals of our giving, one of the goals in which we give here weekly at Compass Church is because we know we're part of something that's bigger than just ourselves. We're part of a global movement, a global revolution, a global countercultural group of people that want to live the highest possible standard of living, a lifestyle of generosity that actually is showing the world in practical ways there is a God who loves them, that Jesus Christ is real, and he wants to work in and through my life to help meet practical needs in people's lives. And so we give, yep, to meet expenses, and we have, as you saw, fixed expenses that don't change. But over and above that, one of the biggest challenges Compass Church has always faced is opportunity. Good problems to have, I know. But one of the things we face is opportunity. And one of the things we need is a venue. So, like this morning, it's reasonably full. And with the stats situation of 75%, they say that you start to plateau. And the reality is for our church, we're starting to see that in our figures. And if anything is going to frustrate me is maintenance and just settling for the status quo. If you want a church that wants to stay small and just be kind of just stay where it is and safe, you're in the wrong place. And so, you know, we've just been investigating. We got called by Wesley College in Elstonwick and looking really positive. Sunday's the only day they don't have traffic. And we said, look, we'll be coming in and we're believing to grow through 100 to 150 this by the end of the year. And musicians start at 8:30 in the morning. They said, look, Phil, I wasn't going to sugarcoat it. I wasn't going to sort of like say something that we weren't. Just straight up, this is who we are. This is what we do. And they said, look, we appreciate that. But Sunday's the only day we don't have traffic or noise. And if you guys come in, then it might just stress that relationship. So you can have our St. Kilda Road campus, which is near the city, which, you know, is a phenomenal venue, but it's just not where we're called to be as a church, which is a bummer because it's a great venue and it's just unreal. And so we are still looking for a venue and being diligent and been working hard on that. And so we're getting, like, in a good way, getting frustrated. So what do you do when you're frustrated? You just be generous. You just got to give something away. That's what we do in our family. It's just like, you know, when we're kind of like just hit a wall, it's like, right, we've got to give something away. And it's like, you know, as a church family, that's where we're at. We're at this place We know we're called to take a big step of faith. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need a venue. We want to keep growing through people who don't know Jesus. And so the two initiatives that we're about to talk to you about stemmed out of a conversation that Michael and I had just a couple of weeks ago. And there was a verse that was bouncing around inside my head, which was Proverbs 19, verse 17. And it says there, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." Or another version says that he who gives to the poor lends to God, and God is no man's debtor. I love that. And I'm thinking about that, and then Michael kind of is doing his praying and his reading, and we just decided to have a little bit of a conversation. And so kind of like just chatting with Michael in the office at the gym. And so we're sitting there, and Michael starts talking in that microphone.
Wow. So I've just been doing my daily devotions and stuff. So I get to the gym every morning, and I sit and I read and write some stuff out, and I just got stuck on Psalm 112, and had kind of spent a week or two just sitting on it and reading it, and one of the key things that comes out of Psalm 112 is this idea of generosity, and that as we give and as we sow into the world, God will bless us. And I just got really challenged that as a church, we have obviously been a generous church, and there's been a whole bunch of practical needs in people's lives that we've met, but I was just thinking, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if we just took a really big step of faith as a church? And so I said to Phil, been thinking, maybe we should do something a little crazy and something that just kind of makes everyone a little bit uncomfortable. And what if we just gave like an extraordinary amount to something that wasn't a church cause, that was just a really practical need in our community? And as a church, we put ourselves in an uncomfortable position and said to God, we just have great faith that as we sow generously, then there'll be a really good breakthrough in terms of us finding a venue, because obviously there's something at the moment that's a bit of a blockage. And so I said, Phil, what do you think?
So we started talking, and it's a problem when we start talking, we start off maybe small and then it just gets out of control, and it's like, yep, God's in this is great.
I was going to sell everyone's cars, by the way, just letting you know, and give it all away, and we're going to walk everywhere.
It's good for the environment too, by the way, because you know, it's environmentally conscious. But we just started to talk about it, and we're going, well, okay, what does that look like? And we, as Michael said, we know as a church, we've been really blessed, but we haven't taken a significant step of faith as a community of believers. And so one of the things we started to talk about was our fixed expenses, and in my head, like, you know, just I'm really quite pedantic about the money side of things as a church. Massive responsibility, don't take it lightly. And looking at, okay, well, we're supposed to have this each other. And then we just went, you know what, you know, we just got to take a step of faith. Yep. And so we just went, well, why don't we, for the whole month of June, we just said, why don't we just, everything that comes in, we're just going to give away.
Yeah.
Everything in the life of our church that comes in through our tithes and offerings in June, we're just going to give that away. And then, like, really excited about it, and then just going, yeah, but we've got expenses. And it's just like, yeah, really excited about it, but we've got expenses. And it's like, you know what? God's bigger than that.
Yeah.
You know, and for us at the moment, you know, that might equate to 10 to 12 grand over the month of June. But I know, now that we've thrown out the challenge for 90 days of giving, let me make it clear, we're not asking you to give any more than you normally would. Just whatever comes in through tithes and offerings in June, we're going to give that away. And, you know, so it just, if you're going to start tithing, then start today, please. Because we've got today and next week before we get to church.
Save no, it up
just,
for the month
just
of
start
June.
Look, I know, I reckon, you know, normally we might get 10 to 12 grand, but I wouldn't be surprised if throughout June we get 15 or 20 grand that comes in, because we're going to give this away. Now, there's a, can we have a cone of silence in here just for a month? Can I trust you all not to say anything? Great. Because there is a church in Carnegie, Carnegie Church of Christ, and they do a great job. They feed 30 to 40 homeless people a week, and just their own volunteers. They do food parcels and everything. And so we were just thinking, how cool would it be if we just rocked up and we gave them a check for, like, you know, 4 or 5 grand to go, guys, we can't do what you're doing right now, but we just really want to thank you for serving our community. We just want to thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we just want to bless you with this, like, 4 or 5 grand, maybe more, depending on what comes in. And then there's some other mission stuff. There's the Paran mission. There's the St. Kilda mission that we've been talking to. And, you know, just stuff that's outside of our world, because please hear us clearly. We want to be a kingdom-minded church, not just talk about it. Yep. It's not just about Compass Church. We're into supporting, you know, the kingdom and God's church. And so, like, for the month of June, we're taking that pretty radical step. And I just want to say, too, it's probably not going to be the last time we ever do this, I don't think. But just putting that out there, just so it's in the back of your minds. But, yeah, so for the month of June, we're really excited that whatever comes in, whatever you guys give, and again, we don't know who gives or doesn't. But can I encourage you, if you've got an issue with what we're doing, please come and talk to me. Don't let that month stop you from giving. Please don't do that. You know, I'm not going to know whether you do or don't, but it's a hard issue. If there's something, buttons being pushed in you that you're not comfortable, please just come and have a chat to me. I'd love to make the time to talk to you about that. So, you know, being generous, lifestyle of generosity, we want to be a church that models that. So we're going to do that. And then there's one other thing.
Some incredible practical needs in the community. The other thing I was thinking, so that's something that we're doing as a church on a very broad scale. And one of the things that out of like my devotion that I got challenged on was personally, what are we, you know, like Holly and myself and our family and stuff, what are we going to do and what steps of faith are we going to take, which Holly always loves when I come home to have those conversations. We'll clear out the, you know. Anyway, but I was thinking, as individuals, what could we do? Like, what are some really practical needs? Because one of my big challenges is that largely the community thinks that the church is irrelevant, which largely it is, but we're determined not to be that. So I was thinking, what could we do as a church where people go, wow, that's a really, really cool practical thing that church has done? So what you're going to get today, if I can get the host teams to start handing them out, is everybody's going to get a coat hanger. So this is our spirit of generosity to you, is we're giving you an empty coat hanger. And what we're asking is, over the next couple of weeks, we want you to bring that coat hanger back with a coat on it. So I know, like, for some of you, you'll have an old coat, like, lying around, not a scrappy one, but one that's in good nick that you don't use anymore. Like, if you haven't worn it in the last little while, then you probably don't need it in comparison to someone who's, like, living on the streets who actually doesn't have a coat. So what we want you to do is take it away by June, I think it's the 13th.
Yep.
So in 3 weeks, by then, we want you to bring it back with a coat on it. I was speaking to one of the girls that works at St Kilda Mission on Friday, and she just said at the moment there's an incredible need for things like clothing, like winter clothes for people. So it's
getting cold.
It's getting cold. Mm. So we're really believing that we're going to be able to just make a significant impact when we show up with a whole bunch of coats and just say, here you go. There's no plan or purpose behind it. There's no agenda. Just this is us helping meet a really practical need in the community. So don't give away a summer coat because that's not very practical. Mm. If you need to go and buy one or you want to go and buy one, that's fine as well. But over the next 3 weeks, take your empty coat hanger home and bring it back with a coat on it, and it's going to go to an incredible cause. It's going to go to someone out there who genuinely needs a way to keep warm. And that's so you're really practically clothing someone. That whole scripture, you know, where it talks about, like, you know, I was hungry, did you feed me and stuff? I was cold, did you clothe me? You know, don't leave someone.
So in terms of distribution, we've got contacts with Paran and St Kilda Mission, but also what we're wanting to do is life groups. If you're not in a life group, get your butt to one. Got to say, our group's rocking at the moment. Got to say, yes, absolutely. But yeah, what we're wanting to do is life groups are going to work out a mission or a charity group that does something on the streets or somewhere that they can go to in the end of June, start of July, and take the jackets. So instead of having life group on that night, we want to go out to help a soup kitchen or a feeding program, take our jackets and just, you know, give them away on that night as well. So it's going to be done through the life groups as well as through the mission groups that we have. Yeah. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. One of contact that we've got at the moment, their company makes jackets, and I rang the owner of that company on Friday and said what we're wanting to do. And he's just working out what we can give, what they can give us. So we might end up with like 200 or 300 jackets to begin with. So given to us, which will be really cool to be able to give away. So very cool. Who likes that idea? Cool. Great. Well, forgot the offering.
Good time to take it up, Phil.
Okay, I nearly forgot the offering. Okay, we better do that before we can wrap up our service. Okay, we've talked enough about giving this morning, so let's just take our offerings, tithes and offerings in our hand. I'm going to pray and then we're going to close the service. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord God, there's been a lot of information communicated today. I just pray that in the communicating that the essence and the message that you're wanting to get across isn't lost. I just pray that we could be a church that continues to live out the whole challenge of being generous. And Lord God, just as we commit this lifestyle of generosity in time, in talents, in treasures, and in testimony, Lord, that we would be a people that are known for that. I just pray that as a church would be known as just being really generous to our community and just loving and caring for our community. So, Father, as we give this morning, as people give this morning, I know people who are giving today, for some of them, they may not know how certain bills are going to get paid. They may not be sure on how things are going to work out. But I just thank you, Lord, that as we trust you, that you are our God who supplies all of our need according to your riches and glory. So I pray for your peace right now, Holy Spirit, to come. They would have a confidence in you, God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people who are giving and those that are still working through it, Lord, and just working out where they sit with the whole giving thing. Just pray that you would continue to just come to a place that they just know what they believe, Lord God, for themselves before you. And I just pray that that these finances would be used for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.